find out. I don't know anything of what occurred with the attack from the church on Jerry. Has that, how recent has all that been in the last, what time period, and what happened?
Well, okay, basically, in November 1981, we'll back up a little bit further. In October 81, Jerry writes a letter to someone in the church saying he's found out all this information, which says that we've been lying bad about some serious things. And he writes, the irony is he writes this letter to someone in the church and says, you know, 8-9 page letter, we found this false, this false, this false, this false. We got to correct this. Because if we don't correct it, it makes Hubbard appear like a charlatan. So to protect him, to protect Mr. Hubbard, we've got to make these corrections. This is before he ever leaves the church. So they immediately order a sec check. You know, saying, yeah, saying, you know, this guy is no longer with the program. And so, you know, we got to do something about it. And so basically he then left. He says, well, if you're not going to make the corrections, I'm leaving. And he walked out. Well, then they issued the first declare. Then they issued another declare. And then people started following him. Private investigators, many, everywhere he went, day and night, 24 hours a day, 10 feet from his living room window with binoculars, from his bedroom window. And when I say day and night, everywhere, I mean, so they were right on his tail. He got assaulted, forced off the road. I mean, yeah, hit by private investigators, people and employees of the church. Then they issued another declare, accusing him of a whole, I don't know, 20, 21 crimes, things he did, you know, libel, defamation, falsehood, theft, all kinds of nonsense. Then they sued him. They lied to him. They sued him. They cheated him. And they're trying to destroy him. So they've applied the fair game doctrine. That's basically what they've been doing. And that's what the litigation is about.
What's the church doing now, their strategy, and what's the next step, or a few steps that are going to occur?
I don't know. We were just having dinner, and I don't know. If you come from our perspective and you know what we know, then you say to themselves, they can't go forward with this trial. Because unless something changes, because if the judge lets this evidence in, and you people came in this courtroom, there'd be some very shocked people sitting here. Very shocked people. So if it's in Department 57, L.A. Superior Court, if you want to attend. So my view is that, you know, they're going to probably walk in Monday with looking for a continuance, looking to delay the proceeding. It's their proceeding to get the documents, but I think now they're wondering whether they're going to be able to get them. Because the judge has made preliminary rulings that the public has an interest in seeing them, and the major issue in the case is that they've got to be preserved and not go in a shredder. And I think if they have any feeling that they're going to lose, then they're going to pursue another option. And the other option that's only available to them now is delay. Try something, you know, try to wear down Flynn and wear down Jerry. And I don't know. What's going to happen tomorrow is going to be very interesting. They may come in and try to delay the case. Last Monday, they walked in after his rulings the prior Thursday and Friday, and they moved to disqualify the judge. And then they moved to delay it for 3 months. He denied both of that. Then they got up and ranted and raved about Laurel for half an hour and said, we need a week. We need 2 weeks continuance. We got to take Frank's deposition. We got to take Laurel Sullivan's deposition. And so we gave him a week. And that's basically what's occurred. We want the trial to go forward. We're ready to go. And we're the defendant. And theoretically, we've got nothing to gain here. We're the defendant being sued for millions of dollars. And we're trying to get these documents made public, and now they want to delay it. No, you know, use your common sense.
Does it seem like they're still using illegal activities to suppress people, like they've done in the past? Or has that tapered off, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, judicially, absolutely. I mean, more so than ever before. They're spending a fortune on lawyers just to harass and attack people. That's the judicial side.
What about the other side?
I've noticed since late 1981 a change in their strategy. They're much more subtle now than they used to be. And now they're using private investigators. To give you an example, in the 79 to 81 period, they were contacting all of my clients, non-Scientology clients, every client I ever had, and, you know, telling them I was this bad and done this and done that, trying to destroy my business. And they were using GO operatives. Well, now they're using private investigators. For example, one of their more recent capers, Clutter, probably cost them $500,000. They built up this big PR line that Flynn forged L. Ron Hubbard's $2 million check. I mean, do I look like a forger? Particularly one of Ron's checks. I wouldn't go for $2 million. Knowing what I know, I'd probably go for $200 million. But because that's closer to how much he's put over in Liechtenstein. But in any event, so what they did, if they took out a full-page ad in the Boston Globe, the Wall Street, the New York Times, the Washington Post, a couple other newspapers. The Globe articles alone, I guess, cost them $31,000. And in the ad, they put $100,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the attempted forgery of a $2 million check on the account. I don't know if it had Hubbard's name in it or not, but on this account, if you have any information, call Eugene Ingram, Los Angeles, with the telephone number.
Ingram?
So, Ingram, that's his name, I-N-G-R-A-M. And so, of course, everyone who called the ad, well, you know, well, what's this all about? Do you have a suspect? And, you know, I may have information, but, you know, who do you think did it? Well, this Boston lawyer, Michael Flynn, did it. And what do you have on him? So that's what they did. And they ran that caper for a long time. And they were telling new media personnel, you know, press people, that Michael Flynn was involved in a $2 million check of $2 million forgery of one of L. Ron Hubbard's checks. I mean, it's ridiculous. But what they've tried to do is all over Boston, because, of course, some of the Boston newspapers picked up on it. You know, $100,000 reward, what's this all about? This is very unique. So some papers wrote articles about the ad. Of course, and what do you think the first thing the church said? Well, our primary suspect is Michael Flynn. So here I am in my own, you know, in the Boston newspapers, being, you know, in a forger. You know, Boston attorney. That's the type of thing they're doing now. They're getting more clever.
But at least they're not putting a letter on the ad.
But as far as I know, the more physical things have stopped since late 81.
How about any evidence of wiretapping or anything?
Well, I know they get my long-distance phone bills, and you can find out a lot from a person from the long-distance phone bills. They've got a major espionage unit working on me. I mean, just major, believe me. I mean, probably 30, 40 private investigators working full-time to pull my overts and wiggles holes and tell you people what a bad guy I am. Yeah, go ahead, Wendy.
There was this, what's that thing in Florida with the ship and the...
Oh, yeah, well...
I haven't been up on it because something kind of just died out. And, you know, the PR people are now promoting the church recently that you set the whole thing up. So I know that...
Did I try to set the judge up?
Right.
I haven't heard this one yet.
Okay, well,
live and learn.
See, I've been accused of bomb threats and all kinds of stuff. So, like, I know that, you know...
Well, the story is that...
That's why I'm so interested in meeting you.
Meet another SC, right?
I'm sorry, but I never knew who you were until the church mentioned how bad you were.
They're going to make me famous. Blackjack Mike Flynn. But anyway. Yeah, what that one is, in April, May 1982, this judge was about to make some bad rulings, Judge Kretzmann, in the Tampa Federal District Court against the church and L. Ron Hubbard, and require, the church was very fearful they were going to require Hubbard's appearance in a particular case. So the evidence available suggests they went out and they paid a guy private investigator from Washington, Bast, Richard Bast, who did the tapes on Paulette Cooper. Paid Bass $250,000 to get a 76-foot yacht, and they put hookers and drugs on the yacht. And then they tried to get a friend of Krentz, the judge. They tried to befriend the friend of the judge so that that friend would go to the judge and invite him out for a sea cruise on the yacht, and unbeknownst to the judge, you know, were the hookers and the drugs. And then they had hidden videotapes and camera and recorders, so they were going to, you know, catch the judge in the company of prostitutes with. Not this judge, but that's what they were going to try. They had tried something like that on Judge Ritchie in the criminal cases.
So what's happening with that one then?
So you know, John Nelson apparently went to Florida and gave some testimony, and it's under investigation. But now they've accused me. I'm the one who rented the 75-foot yacht and got the hookers and the dress. Well, they spent $250,000 on that. So if I had spent $250 on that, then what I misrepresented the $450 I spent. It's now up to $700. Go ahead. I already, go ahead.
They seem to be spending an awful lot of money for all this. How far do their resources go?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the church.
Yeah.
Do they have a line in?
See, I really don't want to get into maligning Ron. When you say how far do their resources go? Well, that's all under the control of some Liechtenstein bank accounts, as Laurel knows, which are under the control of basically one person. So how much he can put into this thing is entirely up to really him and David and Pat and a few others. Hundreds of millions. And Laurel knows about hundreds of millions. So theoretically, the resources...
Yeah. The longer they can stall things off, the better they do.
You know, their belief is delay, fight, obstruct, block. I'll go away. And they'll win by intimidation. Because for the years, they won by intimidation. Go ahead.
Two questions. First of all, how do we bypass that? How do we win out over hundreds of millions of dollars? Just the evidence and the people that we have? Is that basically, how do we avoid those delays? How do we get around those blocks? How do we punch them?
You can't stop truth.
Right.
Period. Whether it comes from Laurel Sullivan's mouth, Gerald Armstrong's, Michael Flynn's, L. Ron Hubbard's, you can't stop it. So all you do is when you find something that's not quite right, you talk about it. You tell people. You see people going in the blue. You just tell people. You open up. You be willing to communicate. And you tell people what's going on. And you confront yourself what's going on. You confront what the organization has done, and don't be intimidated by them. If they try to intimidate you, tell them to screw. Just, go after them. Confront them on every step of the way, everything they do. And whatever the washout is, should be true.
Is there any thought of you representing Gerald Armstrong, of there being a countersuit for all of the harassment and driving off the road and all the rest of it? I mean,
it's not being tried in this proceeding, but absolutely. Right. After this proceeding's over, then we're coming back.
Have you talked to Ray Emmons lately?
Who is this question coming from?
I was in common with Ray Emmons last year. I sent him a bunch of pamphlet checks.
I talk to Ray all the time.
And I mentioned you. I never got a communication back.
talked to him on the phone. And I sent him a letter and a lot of canceled checks, and some of them were on the one was from my wife in 1980. She went to fly to do Knott's. And it was a $17,000 check, and it was canceled. The final cancellation was on Luxembourg Bank.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Where are you from?
L.A. I'm part of this.
So it was drawn on an L.A. bank?
Finally.
Who is it made payable to? Religious Research Foundation?
No, it was the Church of Scientology.
The answer to your first question is I talk to Ray all the time. The answer to what you can do, you know, there's a local lawyer, Dave Jordan, who's trying to get a lot of refunds for people. You can contact Dave.
I'm out of the church completely, and I got my books. But what I'm saying is they had the task force down there.
Oh, yeah, that's all ongoing.
Is it still going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely ongoing. And but if your question is, you know, why did your money end up in Luxembourg? Oh, that's all ongoing.
It is still ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Have you ever got a letter or any communication back from him?
Well, you know, he's got a lot of people communicating with him like me. So he tries to pursue the things that are going to be the most immediately productive. There's an investigation going on right now in Toronto, Canada, that's working with those people in Florida. That is going to open a lot of eyebrows. I mean, a lot of people are going to be very surprised. Believe me, I can stand up here and tell you things, and you can say, well, you know, that, you know, where did he dream that one up? But there's been some real chicanery, and there's been a lot of money that's been stolen, and there's been a major financial scam that's been worked here. The nonprofit corporation that should have been receiving the income from people who were going to FLAG and getting the services. Well, that's not what happened. The monies the checks were made out by foreign Scientologists to a Liberian corporation called Religious Research Foundation, then put in Liechtenstein bank accounts under L. Ron Hubbard's control. And then the funds were funneled from those bank accounts directly into his bank account.
So you're talking about private people?
You're not talking to Norman. You're just talking outright fraud.
Okay, just fraud. Okay.
Just plain theft. And, you know, that's it. It's that stark. It's that simple. There's not a lot more I can say about it. It's as simple as I've just told you. And it's on tape.
Jerry Armstrong isn't the same person we heard who had left ASI and the FBI wanted him and the church wanted him. This is a few weeks ago.
Oh, I know who you're thinking about.
Okay, that's somebody else. Have you heard about that? Are they in contact with you? You can't talk about that.
Well, that person basically says that, after the IRF scam was... The Fed started looking at the IRS scam, and the church started doing a lot of things to try to undo the theft. Then they had to come up with a new vehicle. And the new vehicle was ASI and everything that's been done with that corporation since. And from what this new person says who worked for ASI, they were taking in early 1982 up until sometime in 1983, was going out at the rate of $1 million a week. And then, as time increased, they raised it up to $2 million per week.
Can he be used when you turn around and sue? Can he be used as a witness and all that?
That's a good question, which I'll talk about that a little bit. One thing you can do is people can stand up. I mean, I got loads of people out there who call me on the phone and say, "Well, you know, I know this and I know that." But don't ever use my name. Don't ever give my name out to anyone. I just thought I should pass the information on to you and click. And, you know, And then you get a lot of people, I mean, there's a group of people in the AAC who know, who have a lot of information. And, you know, all it needs is needed right now is people got to stand up and say it and do it and not be intimidated and let the truth come out. Then, absolutely, like this person we're talking about, will he come forward in Gerald Armstrong's case? Probably not. But protected by a governmental agency, he apparently has. I mean, someone like Mike Meisner. Mike Meisner, you know, they were in a deep six Meisner. If you, anyone who's read the GO docs, they're going to get rid of him. Because he had gone to, you know, he had gone to the Fed back in 1977. So he had gone to the Fed, and he told the Fed that the GO was doing all these things, which eventually led to the raids. And now they had to get a new identity from Mike Meisner. But Mike Meisner would have been a very valuable witness for us. You know, he could come out and he could testify. Oh, yeah. You know, they broke in, burglarized 136 state and federal agencies, and they were doing this, that, and the other thing to Paulette Cooper, and all these awful things were going on. But, you know, these people go and hide. They don't want to confront. So the few people who have stood up has made a huge change. I mean, the Gerald Armstrongs of the world are few and far between, and now Laurel Sullivan's, you're talking very few people who are willing to stood up and say, this is what's going on, it's not right, we need new responsibility. If the tech is legitimate and our organization is legitimate, let's undo the wrongs, correct them, and do things properly.
Yeah. Yeah. A question about that. What rights do we have as a religious group? Now, as a church body, what rights do we have for the direction that a church goes? I mean, any church body anywhere in the United States.
Loads. Loads. I said in the last speech, get together, get a lawyer, challenge them, and you can do it. I mean, it's done all the time. There's 100 lawsuits. Where one faction of a church sues another faction of the church. It's done all the time. I'd go for you people. If a person got on the witness stand and said, I was a member of the church, so, you know, they have what they call a voir dire. You're asked questions. The lawyers ask the jurors questions. Well, have you ever been involved in a legal proceeding? Are you a member of the Church of Scientology? And then if you said, well, I'm a member of the Church of Scientology, and, you know, I just want, but I'm not biased either way. I love the tech, but I understand this case is about whether these documents should be revealed to the public. You know, I'll be objective. I have no quarrel with that. But if you're a GO operative and you've been put on the jury and your TRs are in throughout the whole trial, and then I have a quarrel with that. You know, that's not fair. That's loading the jury. So how do you prevent it? You ask them. I mean, I just finished a non-Scientology jury trial. It went for 6 weeks in Boston. And it was a very involved case. And there was a holdout on the jury. In Boston, you only have to get, it was a civil case, you only have to get 10/12 on your side. And after the trial and talking to some of the jurors, they said to me, this one juror, and I got strange vibes from this juror right from the beginning. I don't know, and I can't even suggest that the organization tried to put her on the jury. I simply don't know. All I can tell you is I got strange vibes. There were no other holdouts. She was the holdout. There was no reason for her to hold out. And I wouldn't put anything past her. But the way you, the answer is precisely your question, the way you ask the jurors questions, if they, and they're supposed to tell you the truth, well, if they've gone to witness school, and you ask whether they're a member of the church, they'll probably say no, so, you know.
Put them on the meter.
Put them on the meter. Go ahead.
The reason I ask is that there is a litigation service that does just that jury priming so that you
right.
get the right
jurors. Yeah, well, you can hire these services to just read jurors, mm-hmm. read types of people, their predilections and biases and that type of thing.
Would you feel it'd be fair if we're non-church members coming across the board and these were non-participating people? Would you feel that would be a fair jury?
No, it probably should not be church members. But all I'm saying is that I'll take legitimate church members because, you know, the facts are the facts, and as long as you've got a fair judge who's going to allow the evidence to come in fairly, you know, this is pretty black and white stuff. But if the documents are released, the book that they want written will never be written. If the documents just get released, and you people can just be free to read them in the L.A. library, then it'll become very obvious to you that you can't possibly write a book about L. Ron Hubbard based on the biographical sketches you read about because there's no truth in them.
I mean, he didn't dig the Panama Canal when he was 15?
I mean, I don't want to, you know, I've been constantly accused by you know, well, you're after this poor man and he's done so much good for humanity. And I
don't want to know.
The facts are... The facts are far in their stark reality, in their stark reality, and I can't, you'll have to come to court and see the testimony. In their stark reality, they're far worse than just, well, he didn't go to George Washington University. You're not dealing with that simple fraud. You're dealing with boxes inside boxes inside boxes inside boxes inside boxes of lies and lies and lies and accumulated lies. On lies, on lies, on lies that created more lies. And there's a tangled web of deceit, which is just, to my simple way of thinking, mind-boggling. So the book... Hey, maybe it's his prerogative. Yeah, maybe it's his prerogative. He wants to write science fiction and sell it for truth. I suppose, you know, it depends how you define science fiction. Or truth.
Have you been in communication
with the
district attorney,
Arlie
Reiner,
who's
in L.A.?
No.
I was wondering if he had anything to do with getting any documents passed or anything saying anything.
I don't know.
Well,
yeah, no, I don't know. I haven't. Is it a him, a he, or her? Or him. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about what he's doing. So.
Campaign to send him information, like what people have done, what he's done to him, and so on and so forth. And they have been a big help.
That's a good idea. That's what should
be
done.
The thing is that maybe we can all send him letters to like get to like bar or something, so we can see the
documents. Nah, I wish you could, but it's much more involved than that. But there are other people and agencies that are interested in the documents. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, I mean, here's part of the irony. Gerald Armstrong works for $17.40 per week, except when he's in the RPF, when he works for $2 and gets rice and beans. But he works for, you know, since 1970 for Ron up to December 1981 for $17.40, like just working 6-7 days a week. You know, how many hours, who knows, all the time, trying to promote something that he had believed was true, and he finds out that it's grossly mischaracterized. And he then, after spending a year and a half collecting all this stuff, then goes to the organization, says, let's correct the lies. Let's tell the truth and see if we can sort this out. And then they jump on him, they sue him, and they probably spent $1 million, at least. There's been 7 law firms suing him. And there's Michael Flynn and Julia Dragojevich, this young lawyer in L.A., defending him. And Gerald doesn't have a cent. And we've defended him for 2 years. They've probably spent $1 million. And they've hit us with every type of legal pleading you can imagine that's ever been devised by lawyers to try to obstruct, delay, and hide, and conceal, and prevent these documents from coming out. So there's millions of dollars on the side of, what I'm telling you is true, there's millions of dollars on the side of trying to cover up a fraud. There's Michael Flynn, and now Laurel Sullivan, and Gerald Armstrong, with no money, trying to defend this thing, trying to get documents released so you can make up your own mind. And if you read a document and say, well, Flynn was full of nonsense, this document doesn't say what he says it said, then at least you can make up your own mind. I mean, you don't even have to rely on me. You can just look at the document. But they're spending millions of dollars trying to conceal them, so you can't even make up your own mind. I mean, that's the irony of this entire situation. I mean, it isn't that you have to accept anything that I'm saying. All I'm trying to do is get them released. And you can read them yourself. And if you take the time to read them, and you go through the details of the boxes inside the boxes, you're going to be shocked. You're going to wonder, well, what kind of mind am I dealing with? And why have all these lies been told? And how come they go all the way back to when he was 13? And why is this, you know, those types of questions you're going to begin to ask, questions that I've asked, questions that Jerry asked. And you find, you know, you gradually come up with the answer.